This village of widows, old people, and adolescents still seethes with resentment against the Greeks. It is one of the countless scars left on Cyprus by recent history, and it's unlikely to heal. Most Cypriots, Greek and Turkish, have an atrocity story they can tell. Sometimes, though, it has a heartening side to it. In 1974, Yanis Kleanthou, a Greek Cypriot hostage, was about to suffer in a terrible revenge planned by the Turks for an incident like the Tokni one. He was saved by the extraordinary action of a humane Turkish Cypriot policeman.
Oh my God. We owe him our lives, 240 people. I mean, we would have been 240 missing, more than the 2,000 that are missing now. Nobody would have discovered us.
Before the Turkish invasion, Yanis lived in Kyrenia, which is to the Greek Cypriots what Calais was to Mary Tudor. It is the jewel of their northern coast. And Yanis Kleanthou used to be the curator of its lovely castle and museum. When the town fell to the invader in 1974, its entire Greek population was expelled. Of the many captives taken, not all were returned. When a Turkish army officer, bent on reprisal, issued his chilling order to the local policeman, it looked as if Yanis was about to join the ranks of the missing persons.
He says to this Turkish Cypriot policeman, ex-policeman, I want three of these Greeks for every Turk that was killed. They killed 80 people, so I want 240 people. So he started counting. I was number five, I remember. And number six was an ex-Greek police officer. And when he got on number six, he stopped counting. And then he drew back and did the salute at this ex-police officer. And I said to him, Mr. Alexis, now I've said the name, what happened, how do... He says to me, he was the only sergeant I could trust when I was in the police force in Paphos. So if we ever get out of here alive, this is the man that saved us, that must have saved us.
It was only later that Yanis discovered what had happened. With exceptional courage, the Turkish Cypriot policeman secretly telephoned the Red Cross. He told them exactly where to come and insisted that they do so at once.
But instead of being a hostage, you might have been a casualty, and you were saved from that by the direct intervention of a Turkish Cypriot?
Certainly, yes. I wish I knew the name of that man. I don't remember his name, and certainly he must, if he's not retired, he must still be in the police, in the Turkish police force in Nicosia or Kyrenia.
Those Greeks who died, or are still missing, are also enshrined and commemorated, as here in a club run by Greek refugees from the town of Zodia. The ones who survived haven't seen their homes in 15 years. The dream of a lost ancestral home is the chief vernacular of this club and of many like it. As ever in Cyprus, 1974 is yesterday and the past is very fresh.
Every month we are dreaming, we are going to our house. Just by dreaming. We are expecting the time to go there.
So this is the dream of the Zodiac.
Yes, we are expecting it. With our passport, we can travel all over the world except our house that we built, my family built, except our house.
Yes. Mr. Elias, tell me how I would find your house, having to leave it to me to visit it.
All right. Going from the main road from Nicosia to Morphou, you are arriving here just opposite to the elementary. Here is the elementary school, and opposite to the elementary school is my house.
To the undisguised amusement of the BBC camera crew, I crossed the line and videoed Zodia for its former inhabitants. During my Pied Piper visit, I was able to record their former clubhouse and went on to see how traces of Greek presence have been erased or altered. The Church of the Holy Cross in Zodia had become a Sati Zeki mosque of the village now renamed Bostanji. The Greek memorials had been desecrated, and not all of these inhabitants are Cypriot. Turkish Cypriot newspapers and opposition politicians confirm that tens of thousands of settlers have been brought from the mainland to beef up the Turkish presence on Cyprus, leading to resentment from many Turkish Cypriots too.
Ladies and gentlemen, this morning I went where you can't go, to your village of Zodia, and we were not allowed to film military areas, and inside the church of Kato Zodia, which has become a mosque, we weren't allowed to film. But what we've got, you will see, and I now present it to you.
Very nice of you.
This was the very first glimpse these people had had of their hometown for 15 years. The Ludra Palace Hotel is now a theme park of incongruities, which would make it unrecognizable to a former guest. There are 15-year-old shrapnel graffiti, for one thing. The music is distinctly un-Mediterranean, for another. And the swimming pool is effectively men-only. Transferred here from the chilly expanses of Canada, these soldiers mount guard over a decayed garden, which is the only neutral turf in Cyprus. In this capacity, it can serve as a rendezvous point for those families who remain sundered by the consequences of 1974. I paid this garden a visit on a day when a Turkish Cypriot family was having what the island cannot. Even if only for an hour, they were having a reunion. The grandmother still lives on the Greek side. Her relatives are sequestered in the north. The UN officially calls this a humanitarian visit, but it looks more like a prison visit. As the band plays on, the meeting shyly begins. The women folk have been in intermittent contact, but if they knew of it, the Canadians might want to sound a fanfare in honor of the fact that this is the first time in 15 years that the old lady has seen her son. Humanitarian visits of one sort or another occupy a huge amount of UN time and money. A UN convoy once a week crosses the frontier. It carries supplies from the Greek side and heads to the most northern village on the island. In 1974, the Greek community in the village of Rizokarpaso on the northern panhandle was bypassed by the invading Turkish troops. When the ceasefire was called, it was agreed to let those Greeks who wished to remain there to do so. But instead, cut off in their peninsula, and subject to continuous Turkish pressure to leave, the Greeks have been left to grow old, to die out, or to join the refugees to the south. For the moment, the Greeks of Rizokarpaso live uneasily under Turkish police control, guarding the remnants of their former national identity. Charity may be received by the truckload, but this community is a limb without any real connection to its trunk or body. The Turks of Tokni and elsewhere may have feared physical extermination, but the Greeks of northern Cyprus fear cultural annihilation too. The disappearance of their language and their culture from one of its most deeply rooted and well-cultivated lands.